Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Sunday, August 19th, 2012. This is episode 902. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your iPhone, iPad, MacBook, or Android smartphone from your home or office. Find out what your gadget's worth at gazelle.com. And by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow, send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Visit ShareFile.com, click the radio microphone, and use the promo code TECHGUY. And by RingCentral. We do everything in the cloud. That's why I love my cloud-based phone system from RingCentral. Zero startup cost, and RingCentral is $20 per month per user. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial. Buy one desk phone, you'll get a second phone free, up to 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980 or visit ringcentral.com and use the promo code TWIT. Well, a good day to you. Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy, and it's time to talk computers, the internet, cell phones and camcorders, MP3 players, home theater, and all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo, that's the phone number if you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, if you'd like to take a little walk down the information superhighway, the infobahn. 888-827-5536. That's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. Outside the U.S., you can call via Skype. Still toll-free. Skype out, will call a toll-free number, won't charge anything. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's for your international listeners. Plus 1-888-827-5536. We will be talking tech, of course, today. But I have to, tip of the baseball cap to our local Little League team that's playing today in the Little League World Series, the Petaluma Nationals, Western Regional Champions. It's kind of neat when you see, on national television, these seventh graders, these sixth graders. It's really, really pretty exciting. Really pretty cool. So shout out to our Petaluma Little League team. My son played on that team many years ago. Well, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. They weren't as good then as they are now. They're the best in the West. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. We could talk about all sorts of things. I thought this was kind of interesting. Remember all the hype? I participated in it over the initial public stock offering of Facebook stock. Remember that? Not so long ago. Big deal. Went off at $38 a share. Kind of went up a little bit. I think it got as high as 40-something. And has been plummeting ever since. Mostly because Facebook has been saying things like, well, you know, this ad sales thing not working all that well. we're not making as much money as we thought. They lost a court case about their sponsored stories, were required to pay a fine. Now the judge says, nah, yeah, that fine's not enough. And, of course, the worst thing, early investors now are selling off. You know who made the most money on the Facebook stock? It's kind of interesting. The bankers who underwrited the stock offering, I guess this is common practice. They also shorted the stock. You know what that is? That's where they say they make a bet that the stock's going to go down. And they made $100 million shorting the stock, saying, yeah, it's nice. The bankers who offered it in the first place, they say, well, no, it's just insurance, of course, just to protect us in case it's not going to go down, but in case it goes down, we'll be $100 million richer. And now the early investors are kind of dumping shares, saying, let's get out. there are what they call lockups to prevent insider trading. They restrict trades for 180 days. That ended Thursday. I guess 6 months. Has it been that long? Wow. 271 million shares made available. That's increasing the volume by 60%. Of course, that price is just going to tumble a little bit. Now, there's an interesting article, I thought, on Business Insider by Henry Blodgett, who's an interesting fella. He was a stock analyst who got banned by the SEC for insider trading, but he's found a second life running one of the most interesting and I think really well done blogs about the financial world called Business Insider. I kind of like it. And he wrote an article, kind of an inside message to dear Facebook employees. He wrote, "Here's the truth about your stock price." And you know, you might think he'd just join the pylon and beat up Facebook stock, but he said, "You know what? This is interesting. The stock crash has nothing to do with the quality of Facebook as a company. Nothing to do with it," he says. "The market is reassessing Facebook because of the rate at which revenue growth is going down." We talked about that. "The impact of the shift to mobile." That's one problem Facebook has to solve, which is that more and more people are using Facebook on their mobile devices. In fact, more than use them on the web, and there's no ads as of now on the mobile devices, so they're not making money on it. That's not so good. "And the decline of the profit margin," and this is something Amazon did early on, because the company decided instead of taking profits to put it back into the company and build, which is a very smart thing to do. Amazon stock in the 90s took a huge bath because Jeff Bezos said, "You know, we're not going to take any profits here. We're going to build distribution centers all over the country. We think that's a good investment, even though it's at a loss." Then, you know, they're reaping the rewards of that now, aren't they? He says all of those factors suggest Facebook is unlikely to be the next Google, which is what people assumed when it went public, and that's why he said the stock was so high. It's not. He says, "But that's not your fault, Facebook employees." He's trying to, I don't know why, he's trying to cheer up the Facebook employees. He does say the stock is going to continue to go down. It's at $20. It's 31 times earnings. That's pretty high considering that Apple and Google are about half that, 15 times earnings. Apple and Google. Meanwhile, whilst Facebook's tanking, Apple on, I think it was Friday, yesterday, set a record for value. Apple stock just keeps on going up. Big jump, I think $11 yesterday. So while Facebook is hitting a record low, Apple hits a record high. Can do no wrong. I guess a lot of that is based on expectation about next month. What is it? I'm going to point this out. I don't give stock tips. I know nothing about the market. I don't invest in tech stocks just because I don't want to, you know, have any investment in what happens to these companies. I just want to be able to cover them objectively. But what happens in the stock market, I'm told, not an expert, but I'm told, is you buy on the rumor, you sell on the news. So the rumor is what people are buying Apple stock on right now. The rumor that the next iPhone is coming out next month and the rumors that it will somehow be great, which we don't know. Apple's market cap, making it the most valuable company in the world, in the U.S., $600 billion. $607.5 billion. Yay, a billion here, billion there, you know. $607.5 billion. It's the rumor. What happens when they announce? It usually goes down a little bit. Since May 18th, when Facebook came out, its stock price has tumbled 50%. Apple's stock price has gone up 22%. I don't know if there's any moral to be learned here. Maybe Apple, all the upside's gone out of Apple. See, this is why I don't invest. I don't understand it. Apple's price to earnings, that is the price of the stock compared to the earnings, is $11.8 per share. Or 11.8 times the earnings is the price of the stock. Facebook is 38.9% earnings. I don't know what it means. It's just the stock market. You know, we can ignore the stock market. You can ignore it unless you have money in it. You can ignore it. But which company do you think is the stronger, the better, the company with the best prospects, Facebook or Apple? Is Apple at the end of a good run and Facebook just beginning? Or is Facebook peaked? See, this is the game tech pundits play. This is the game I like to play. Has Facebook peaked? I don't know. Has Apple peaked? Facebook has some real problems to solve. They have to figure out how to make money in mobile. They have to figure out how to make money. Apple seems to know pretty well how to make money. What do you think? Facebook or Apple? 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Your call's next. Tennessee and California. What do they call them? California. It's Petaluma.
It is the hottest topic in business today.
I guess it's
and
by
I have to
state.
Say, it is what I recommend, moving your business to the cloud. It's what we did with Google.
P-Town.
And I'll tell
very
you,
proud
you
of this little town.
Not just email, you get
collateral. P-Town is on a roll. I'm just watching the Little League World Series just underway. Petaluma's the home team, so they're pitching. Oh boy. Men on second and third. Ooh. Oh, boy. No outs. Those Tennessee guys. Okay, now, come on, settle down, Petaluma. I know it's a big game. I did see, no, I didn't see that, Dr. Mom. I apologize. We were in iPad today, and Dr. Mom was tweeting me or chatting at me. And Gordon, I guess Gordon took over and said hi, and I apologize because I really was kind of in the middle of a show. But I didn't realize he was a stamp collector. So that's what you were there for, is a philatelic conference? Philately? You're into philately? Wow. Congratulations, Strike It Rich. Uh-oh, 1-0 Tennessee. Okay, the coach is coming out. Okay. See, they have to wear a W because they're the West. They should have a P. It's too bad they can't really celebrate there. I guess they don't want them to be too local. So now it's East-West, right? Not Petaluma, Tennessee, or whatever. Gettysburg. You know, I don't understand the rules of cricket. The Seeker's asking me if I like cricket. Are you from a Commonwealth nation? I do not understand the rules of cricket. It's far too complicated for me.
O10.
Epson.
Built to perform.
What was that? What was that sound? Oh, it's Georgia?
It's not it says Tennessee.
Tennessee 1, California 9. No outs, man on third. Not good. Oh, pitching problem. Uh-oh, wild pitch. Oh, dear. This run scores. Settle down. It's okay. Come on, Petaluma. Settle down. All these little kids. Oh, my goodness. Oh. I should. If they win, I should invite them to the Brick House, and I should shake their hands. After they go to the White House, they should come to the Brick House. AT&T's price to earning is 50 to 1? That can't possibly be. Why is their price so inflated? I will invite. Oh, they don't. I would invite them anyway. Anyway, I don't know how you invite them. I'm gonna wear the hat though on Twit. So Twit tonight: Shira Lazar, Callie Lewis, and the lovely and talented Kevin Pereira from formerly of G4 and Attack of the Show. That's a fabulous panel. Well, Epson's a sponsor, and I use Epson exclusively through Always Have, both for photo printing, business printing, and lasers. I've always been an Epson fan. Yeah, but you know, AT&T is not just, or is wireless separate? Is it a separate stock from T? Because T the long lines business and stuff, I think the overall AT&T's business is definitely in trouble. You got to tell me. I don't know, Kevin. I've never seen Attack of the Show, so you have to tell me what to...
Hey, I like this.
My old bumper.
I know. Sorry, Leo. No, everything like went like crazy.
I can tell.
Bringing it back.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. That's a number toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. of A. Outside the U.S., you can still call. And we have, because of the internet, listeners all over the world. You could still call 888-ASK-LEO. Let's get right to the phones. Robert, Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, Robert. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. What's going on?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. I know you don't like to hear this kind of thing, but I have to say it because I listen to almost every show you do. I can't believe your humility throughout your great success, man. It's been amazing, you know, watching
Thank you.
All your incredible work.
There are plenty who say I'm not so humble, so I appreciate that, Robert.
Well, you're always talking about flying in the seat of your pants, and you wish nobody would be in your position. And I'm like, yeah, right. Like, come on.
I will acknowledge I am the luckiest person in the world, but mostly because I'm doing what I want to do, and it's very lucky, I think, when you get to do exactly what you want to do. And it's been an interesting ride in broadcasting. You generally work, you know, at the pleasure of some big company, and to be able to do this on my own is wonderful.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll get straight to the point. I'm trying to do tech support for an older guy.
Okay.
And his hard drive, when I got it, was just completely just rot. Like, there's all kinds of craziness going on there. So I got him a new hard drive, and it was like 3 times bigger, and it was pretty, you know, not expensive. But he had this on his old drive. I couldn't even get to the recovery partition on there. And I put Windows 8 consumer preview because you want to pay for OS, you want to pay for the Windows 7. Well, I was like, well, I'll put Windows 8 on there because that's going to be the future. And he has a Vista key on, you know, like the little sticker on the back of the computer. And I was wondering if he can get the upgrade for $40 with that Vista key, even though the OS is underneath the Windows 8 consumer preview.
You know, this is kind of unknown. I actually asked Paul Thurrott, whose business is Windows. We do, and since you listen to the shows, you know Paul. He's the Windows Weekly guy. We do a podcast every week about Windows. And he said it's not known yet how that process will be. But one thing I can tell you for pretty sure is I don't think the consumer preview will be upgradable. I might be wrong on this, but I got the impression that you would have to start from scratch. Chat room, am I wrong on that? I'm not sure. I'll have to ask the chat room. But it was my sense. I know this is true, by the way, of the current evaluation version. They say very specifically on the evaluation version, you can't. Okay, so Nautilus in our chat room says, yes, the consumer preview is upgradable, just not the new RTM, so the value version. So that means... you will be able to upgrade it, and it would be my guess that if he has the Vista key, that's probably all he'll need, but we just don't know.
Okay.
We just don't know. So last time, the 7 to Vista was pretty loose. It didn't, it was pretty easy to upgrade, but we don't know if Microsoft's going to make it that easy this time around. Usually, Microsoft's pretty good about it. You know, if you call them up and say, hey, look, this is what happened. I don't have the disks. I had a recovery participant, but that's been wiped out. Here's the serial number and the product number. And they'll probably, and it's only $40, so it's not a big deal. I wouldn't worry so much about it.
Okay. We don't have any idea how what the OEM version will be, right?
I don't think Microsoft has said no. $40 is the upgrade price for Windows 8, however, so it's cheap. Microsoft is, for reasons I don't fully understand, I guess because they really want to seed the market with Windows 8, they've announced it'll be
$40. That is just unbelievable.
I know, that's great news, and it's actually great news. Now, let me ask, because I'm curious, how is this fellow doing with Windows 8?
He is an older guy, and I did have to do kind of a couple of days tutoring him to switch over because he's used to the Vista.
Right.
You know, he says he likes it. He likes it a whole lot.
That's excellent.
When he comes in, everything that he wants is right there. Like his email, his weather, it's all right there. Instead of having to, like, you know, open up, you know, Google or whatever, and then go to the website or whatever. So there's like a little tab right there. Boom.
I think that's nice. You could set up those tiles. And I think what Microsoft realizes, people only do a handful of things. There's plenty of space on that start screen to put the things they do. Why not take over the screen with that? I'll give you a tip. Now, I don't know if this is for your guy or for you or other people listening, but Ed Bott, great little tip from Ed Bott, another great Windows guru. A lot of people say, oh, I need the desktop. You know, there is a desktop in Windows 8, which looks much like the old Windows 7 or Vista desktop. And Microsoft Office, for instance, has desktop versions of all of their apps, and many apps are still desktop. And so a lot of people like us who say, hey, I wish I had more of the desktop and less of Windows 8. What this is such a great tip. Ed said is just drag the desktop icon, which is currently embedded within those tiles down below, to the very upper left position, the very first icon. Turns out whatever you put there is the default tile. All you have to do is hit the return key and launch it. So when Windows boots up, if you have the desktop tile in the upper left-hand corner as the first tile, boots up, there's the start screen, you hit return, you're now in the desktop.
That's incredible.
I know.
And browser, with all of my favorites open, I can just hit return when I get to the start screen.
Perfect.
Browser's open, all my tabs are open,
perfect.
Ready to go.
Yeah. So, yes, for instance, if it's the browser that you want, you could put that there instead. Exactly.
That's pretty awesome. Thanks
cool
to your
tip.
Chat room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate the call. And, you know, also, besides thanks for your kind words, thanks for helping somebody out. I think there are, you know, those of us who are geeks, one of the things I think it's important for us to do is make sure that we help and we bring along the other folks so they're not left out. So good for you for doing that. I appreciate it. George Santa Monica, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, George.
Oh, good morning. I'm so happy to be able to tell you about this app from Apple. It's from NASA. It's called Spacecraft 3D.
Oh, isn't that cool? Now tell me.
Oh, you know about it.
Oh, well, I have seen it because everybody in the chat room was singing its praises. And you know, when Curiosity landed, everybody's saying, oh,
yes.
You got to get this. So it's called Spacecraft 3D. It's iPhone and iPad. And
yes.
And it's tell me how it works, because I've played with it, but it's a little confusing. What does it do, George?
Well, I mean, it really doesn't do much. If you have that little target page, it looks like a bunch of gravel, and you shine your iPad onto that gravel page, and up pops the Curiosity in 3D. You have settings in there which you can raise and lower the cameras. You move your iPad closer to the image that you see, and you're like 3 inches from those cameras, and you can look at the whole spacecraft. You take your hand, move that page on the, you know, it's on a flat surface. You move that page, and the spacecraft moves around. You can zoom in on the tires and the treads, and you push the buttons, and the thing rolls. Oh, it's amazing.
You know what I think is kind of interesting? By the way, it's a free app. It's using augmented reality. So it will use the camera of the iPad or the iPhone and have Curiosity wander around your desk. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I love it. And this is what I think is cool. And it's not just Curiosity. There's three different spacecraft you can choose from. I guess the Spirit and Opportunity. I don't know what the other two are. Well, they're identical. So okay. But this is from JPL. It's free. I don't have my iPad here. I'd show you. It's for iPad or for iPhone. It's not available, as far as I know, on Android. But it's really fun. So it's augmented reality. So basically, you're projecting 3D models of the Curiosity into your space, into your world. And it can wander around. Oh, look at those Petalumas. Oh, I'm sorry. I have to look at my boys, my team, see if I recognize any of them. So they had a bad first out inning. I think their pitcher was a little rocky, a little nervous. If I can rewind that. Oh, Marzo, that's a name in the town name. Bradley Smith, center fielder. He's 6'4". Peretti is also one of the... There are a lot of Italians in Petaluma. Yes, sir. Yeah, I didn't know you were going to be here. You... If you want, you don't have to stick around. We already did it, really, yesterday. Okay, I don't want to set it all up again, so yeah, let's... Good, thank you. Cool. I really appreciate it. It's very kind of you. Yeah, did you have fun in Petaluma? Yeah, did you wander around at all, or?
No. Just the market.
I should have taken you around. There's cool stuff in town. Cool stuff. Next time.
And thanks again.
Thank you, Chris. It went well yesterday. I didn't get to see all of it. Oh man, that happens. Good, great, good. Thank you so much, Chris Marquardt. So it's all good. They held them to two runs, and already they've got a runner on. This might be a high-scoring game. Boom. I shouldn't be talking about this. You're all going to tune in the Little League game. That's a nice hit. Gosh, these kids are good. So we got a runner on first, no outs. They look like real ball players. It's so funny to watch this. I mean, they're 12 years old. But they're like, they're staring at the pitcher and stuff. I mean, it's really kind of funny to watch. It's on ABC. Somebody said it was on ESPN as well, but I'm seeing it on ABC right now. But don't tune it in. this is DirecTV we're watching. We have a DirecTV. We wanted it for the NFL. We got it because I said, Lisa, you have to get DirecTV so you can watch the NFL. Well, that's the conclusion I'm coming to, that Windows 8 really is a tablet OS, and it was and Microsoft knows it and expects people to use it in a tablet. ABC and ESPN are all the same company. You know that, right? It's all owned by Disney. Oh, nice. Yeah, little sack bunt. He's safe. Yeah. Oh, sorry. He's safe. He ran it out. Yeah. Petaluma. Sorry. Calm down. What is that? Is that a Disney ride? I'm sorry. I'm ignoramus. What is that? The Great Space
1981
Coaster.
1981
TV show. Oh. Kyle Benham, our musical director, he is pulling out the obscure oldies for us today. You'll get Kyle's playlist at the end of the show on our website. Brand new. You're going to love it. The Tech Guy Labs. Oh, they look good. TechGuyLabs.com or Leo.am if you don't want to type so many letters. And that's where you'll find show notes from the most recent shows. We're getting the older shows in there as we move over from the old site. But certainly all the last month or few months of shows are up there. And I really appreciate it. If you hear me say something or you want to add to what I said, or maybe I got it wrong and you want to correct me, I really appreciate it if you would go to the Tech Guy site and comment there. And the other thing you could do is vote on comments. So the best comments, I want the best comments to rise to the top. The idea is, hey, I know I don't get everything right. Sometimes I make mistakes, or sometimes you've got a better idea or better way to do it, and I learn from that. And I want everybody to learn from that. So always free, always easy to use. We never charge for anything on the Tech Guy show. TechGuyLabs.com, and your comments are absolutely welcome and appreciated. Correct me. You don't have to yell at the radio anymore. Now you can yell at the website. Stephen is in Annandale, Virginia. Hi, Stephen. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy.
Hi, Leo.
Hey.
So I visited your studio last August.
I remember, Stephen, you have a podcast, right?
Yeah. I have a podcast network with 5 shows already.
Wow. How old are you?
I'm 13. I just turned 13 in July.
So when in 40 years, when you're my age, if you have 5 shows now, just imagine how you'll be doing. That's exciting. How come you did that? Why did you do that?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I've been watching your network for a long time, and you've been an inspiration for me.
You said if that guy Leo could do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
And, good. And know, what topics do you cover, Stephen?
Well, let's see, news, technology, politics, gaming.
Wow. We got a little mini mogul here, a little media mogul going here. You know, you actually were helpful because you were, I remember, one of the reasons I remember is because you helped me. We had a caller and they were asking how they could cross post to YouTube and stuff. And you use blip.tv. You still using blip.tv?
Yeah. I uploaded all my videos to blip.tv now.
Great. Well, that's where people can find it. What's the name of the network?
Azdaqua. Yeah, I know it's not that good of a name. But
spell it for me.
Azdaqua.
Azdaqua. Does that stand for something?
I'll just say hi in the chat room so you can see it. So I don't really know why we created it, and because my friend did it, but
well, you're having fun, aren't you? Are you learning something, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm learning a lot about broadcasting and writing.
This is, what Malcolm Gladwell says in his book, The Tipping Point. He's talking about what makes somebody better than anybody at something. And he says it turns out to be an expert at something, the number one is not skill or talent or native ability, or it's experience. And he says if you do something for 10,000 hours, that's what it takes to be an expert. And there's no shortcut around that. You can have a lot of ability, and you still need to do 10,000 hours to become an expert. So by starting as young as you are and working as hard as you are, this is the hard part. I remember when I first started myself as a broadcaster, when you first start out, you're maybe not as good as you want to be. You know, Ira Glass, who does the best radio show in the world, This American Life, said that. He said, the problem is that you're doing this because you have taste, you have an interest in it, you know what's good, but when you first start doing it, you're not living up to your own taste. You're not as good as you want to be. And I remember the good news is when you're young, for some reason, you're a little immune to that. I guess because you're learning all the time, so you're used to not being good at things the first time you do it. It gets harder and harder as you're older. So now's the time to start getting your 10,000 hours, Stephen. This is a good thing to do.
And so we've been improving since I last saw you. Like, I bought a new headset. I created lots of logos on PowerPoint. And my dad got me a really nice HD Panasonic camcorder for my birthday.
Good for dad. That's so he's supporting you on this. That's great.
Yeah, and my mom. And we got a domain name on Hover.
What's your domain name?
Azdaqua.com.
Good. It's always good. That's what you want. Azdaqua.com. That's good.
Yeah. And so anyway, since I started my network, my parents and I have all been footing the bill. And I was just wondering how I could put up advertising on my website, which is hosted on WordPress. Like, I've been putting monetization on my YouTube videos, but I was just...
you probably don't make a lot doing that either, do you?
No.
YouTube, you make, after YouTube takes their cut, you make maybe a buck or two at best for every 1,000 people that view your video. So, interesting, right? Do the math. If you get 1 million views, 1 million's a lot. You know, that's a viral video. You might make $1,000, maybe $2,000. You don't get rich on YouTube. And the same is somewhat true for ads, banner ads on websites. So you might, if you're lucky and you get a lot of views, which most people don't get, we don't get 1 million views on any of our videos. You might make your costs back. But Stephen, you're young. You're 13 years old. I know your dad's very supportive. I met him when he came out here with you. You just kind of, what we euphemistically call investment mode. That means you're not making any money. And it may be that way for a while. It may be that way for, think of this as your education. You don't ask when you go to high school or college, well, how do I monetize my college education? How do I make money? Where can I put the banner ads on my peachy for going to high school? You can't do that. You're in investment mode. You're investing in yourself. And I think a lot of people who do new media, they look at old media and they say, well, those guys make money. Why? How do I make money? And really, you can't right away. I would not be in a hurry to make money at it. The easiest way to put ads on it is just the same thing that you do right now with Google, is put Google, YouTube, it's called Google AdSense. So if you go to google.com/AdSense, you'll set up a Google account. You already have one. And then you can put banner ads on your website. And you see them on a lot of websites. Again, not going to make a lot of money. You might make your money back. You're doing a beautiful job. I'm looking at the Asdaqua website, asdaqua.com, and it's really nicely done. I like what you're doing. I think you're really right on track here. And you got great pictures of your guys, the contributors, and you're focused on election day. That's awesome. Your generation needs to pay attention, because the older generation, my generation, has probably given up on politics. So it's time for you to take over. But don't expect to get rich. Don't expect to even make money. But you might be able to defer your expenses, cover your costs with Google AdWords. I'm sorry, AdSense. AdWords is for buyers. AdSense is for the sellers, the web pages. Put the ads on the YouTube videos, that's fine. Don't expect to make more than $100 a month, but that's going to kind of help you with the cost, Stephen. I think you're on the right track. But remember, you're in investment mode. Hey, I'm in investment. Twit's in investment mode. My podcast network is in investment mode. We plow most of the money we make back into the network because we're trying to build something bigger. Right now, you should be plowing your time, your efforts, your sweat equity, and any money you make back into you. Now's the time to invest in Stephen, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I agree, Ryan. So just get there for money, you won't survive because you'll get bored or you'll be frustrated. If you do it because you love it, do it because you have a passion for it. That's exactly right. I love running my own business. I love the control. I love the challenges.
I don't know, Stephen. I love making you can't the get money. It to work.
But of course, that's...
I don't know. I'll have to ask somebody in the chat room. I have never commented, to be honest.
Hey, real quickly, before we get back to the radio show, I'd like to talk a little bit about Petaluma. No. they pulled ahead, by the way, 3-2. This is a very exciting... I'm sure they're going nuts at the movie theater down the street, which has probably 500 people, 600 people in there. Parents, family, friends, they're all going nuts. And, you know, if they win this one, this is a double elimination. If they win this one, I think there are a lot of people in Petaluma will be flying out to Williamsport, PA. That's pretty cool. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about what do you do with your old gadgets. Now, a lot of you are thinking about a new phone, perhaps. This is a good time of year because we've got new Samsungs coming out. We've got a new iPhone coming out. But you don't know yet, right? So let me make a recommendation. Go to gazelle.com now and get your quote. It's good for 30 days. So that quote will get you right through to the announcement of the iPhone. And you want to get the quote now if you're interested. You want to get the quote now. iPhone, they have a variety of cell phones, BlackBerry, HTC, LG, Motorola, Nokia, and Samsung. So let's say, you know what I have? I have the AT&T Samsung Galaxy Note, and I'm really interested in the next one. There it is. I'm really interested in the next one. So let's get an offer on that. Is it in good condition? Yeah, it's flawless. Well, we rooted it. Works perfectly, no noticeable flaws. Still in its package, it looks new, no zero scratches or scuffs. That's right. It is free of water damage. Yes, let me calculate my value. Oh, $180, $188. See, that's going to get me my new phone. Look at that. If you got an iPhone, it's interesting. iPhones really hold their value. But the point is, they're not going to hold their value forever. And when the new iPhone comes out, you can guess. Look, $300 for a 32-gig iPhone 4S. Wow. But now the point is, this quote is good for 30 days. 30 days. So get it now. Don't wait. Now, when you're ready to sell, you add it to the box. They pay the postage on anything worth more than a buck. They send you the mailing label. And then you cash in, and you can get a check. You can get PayPal. My recommendation is you get the Amazon
gift card because they'll bump it up 5% over the value they quoted. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? That's $15 more on that iPhone. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, gazelle.com. Sell your electronics for cash. They pay you fast. They give you fair prices. They'll wipe your data. They even, I hear it all the time, if you underestimate the value of your device, they have no obligation really to give you more, but they do. I hear it from people all the time. They tweet me and they say, Gazelle gave me another $30, saying, oh, no, it's in better condition than you thought. They're good. They're really good people. No wonder over 300,000 people have sold stuff on Gazelle for worth more than almost $50 million. Free shipping, fast processing, and you get cash to buy your new stuff. Gazelle.com. Uh-oh. Japan takes the mound tonight. Wait a minute. Oh, boy. I'm nervous about that. 6 foot, 206 pounders, 13 years old, Japanese pitcher. Those kids are good. Oh, it's neat, Narib. You live in Williamsport. Beautiful little town, it looks like. Looks really pretty. The Breville was $1,100 and some. It's on Amazon.
All right, Leo, your live read is Carmenite.
Unfortunately, Gazelle doesn't buy the old espresso machines. Oh, my little leaguers are winning. I'm loving it. P-Town representing the Little League World Series today. It's cute. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888-ASK-LEO, 8888-ASK-LEO. Now, I'm looking in the chat room because we were asking this question about whether you'd be able to upgrade Windows 8 to the final version. And Lawn Dog says he doesn't think you can go from consumer preview to the commercial version of Windows 8. I don't know how clear this is, to be honest. I don't know if Microsoft has made that clear. Because even though they've shipped the bits are out for Windows 8, what they call the RTM, the ready-to-manufacture. You can even download an eval copy right now from Microsoft. Anybody can. What they do say is that evaluation copy, which is intended for businesses, but anybody can download it, it will not be upgradable. You will have to format the hard drive after 3 months when it's done. So that's something to keep in mind. I don't know if they've made this clear, though, with the consumer preview that was out earlier or the release preview that was out earlier. They have said that they will sell Windows 8 for $40 as an upgrade. Many of you who have bought machines recently have an inexpensive or free upgrade coming to you. But my recommendation, if you're interested in Windows 8, is probably a good idea if you've got a computer you could try it on or try it in a virtual machine. Try it first. See if you like it. And then hold off on buying hardware because I am of the strong opinion that Windows 8 works best if you buy a machine designed for Windows 8. I think it's going to work. I think even Microsoft acknowledges that it's a tablet operating system that really belongs on a touch environment. Something like the Surface that they've shown and they've announced. So we are starting to see it. We're getting ready. Windows 8 will be out in October, a couple of months. It's out. See, this is what's confusing. It's out now. And so companies like Dell and HP and Lenovo, they've got it. And they're putting it on machines to test it. They're going to, you know what, the process over the next month or two is to test it with their machines, with the hardware, with the device drivers, to create what they call a build, which will be the standard install, so that when they do start shipping machines in October, they will be, you know, reliable, stable, that kind of thing. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the number. Back to the phones we go. Alan, West Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Leo, how are you? A happy user of some of your advertisers.
Thank you. The advertisers thank you, and I thank you. Because one of the things I really love to say is that
unlike a lot of shows, everything is free. The podcasts are free. The website is free. Everything's free. It's all supported by the advertisers. So your support for them is much appreciated.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Carbonite. And one feature that people forget about is you can access your files anywhere. It's a really convenient thing to have.
Yeah, it's cloud storage. And it's the cheapest cloud storage out there.
Yep. So here's my question. I went ahead and I kind of took your advice. Now, I ran out of space in my hard drive in my Dell machine. And so what I have is I have a solid-state drive now that I'm going to use for the OS. And I have a 2-terabyte drive for storage. And I want to see if I can convince Windows 7 to look at the 2-terabyte drive, not the C drive, for users. Question number one,
yes.
Are the solutions online the best I can do? Because some of them are pretty complex, and I have to use registry edits and so on.
No. You're Windows 7?
Windows 7, yeah.
No, I don't think it's complex at all. I think, if you right-click on your computer... Actually, just open up the documents folder. You can right-click on the documents, select properties, and say this should be stored on this drive.
Ah, okay.
I don't think that you can move. Now, you might have to do it account by account. What you'd like to do is move the whole documents and settings folder over to that D drive.
Right.
But, and you may be able to do that. I'll have to look into it. But I know you can do it with individual accounts. So I have an account that's called Leo. I can say, I want Leo to be on D. And from then on, it's on D. And Windows is very happy with that. What Windows doesn't like is having applications anywhere but where it is.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. But that's what you want, because really, if you're going to reinstall, you let's say a good reason to do this, besides the fact that your SSD, your solid state drive, is so fast, you want Windows to be on there.
Right.
It's especially fast on reading. It's not quite as fast on writing. So the data drive, for capacity reasons and because you don't get a huge benefit if you're doing a lot of writing, can be on the spinning drive. But the stuff where you read, your operating system and your applications, those should be on the solid-state drive. And it really makes booting faster, makes running apps faster. So that's appropriate.
Sounds good. Now, here's my general question. Since I'm not really a geek, I'm a slightly experienced user. Where do I draw the line between something I can do by myself and where I should call somebody and say, you know what, for $100, $200, you do the job? Can you give like a general guideline as to what are the things that people can do by themselves in terms of upgrades and that sort of thing?
There's a hard and fast rule. I think it's what you're comfortable with. And the minute you get uncomfortable, then get somebody in to do it. But I think you can do more than you might think, Alan. I always take a chance. For instance... and I'm a little nervous about this. I have one of the new MacBooks, the Retina display MacBooks, which everybody said, unrepairable, you can't repair it, don't even think about it, it's unupgradable. So a company called Otherworld Computing just started selling a big solid-state drive for it, and I like to upgrade it if I can, and this one's a little faster, a little bigger. So I ordered it, and I'm going to take the chance of opening up, doing heart surgery on this MacBook with Retina display, even though everybody said you can't. I trust Otherworld Computing. They said, no, you can do it. We'll do a video. We'll give you the tools. If you've got the tools, here's what I would suggest. If it's a hardware upgrade, watch a video of somebody doing it first. And if you break out in a sweat, don't do it.
Got it.
I have taken apart laptops and not been able to put them back together again. So maybe I'm not. But I think, look, I'm in a big believer that you should be able to do it yourself.
Sounds good. I at least got the SSD in by myself, and I had the machine blown up yet. So I figure that's a
Almost all of these repair, a great place to go is iFixit.com. Their whole point of this website is we are the repair manual for the Internet. So they have videos. And so it's hard to tell from reading a manual, I admit, but almost always now, thanks to YouTube, there are videos of somebody doing this. I'll give you another example. The iMac, putting a new hard drive in the iMac is not easy because the iMac, you have to use a suction cup to get the glass on the front off. That one I was a little too nervous to do. My engineer at the time, Colleen Kelly, said, I can do it. I said, Colleen, you're nuts. She said, I can do it. We watched the video together. I said, Colleen, do you have a suction cup? She says, I can do it. So I sat her down, and she did it. And I was very impressed, and she was able to upgrade that hard drive. Watch the video. And if you feel that confident, as long as there's no soldering involved, I think you're probably all right. And we are, you know, we're doing one of the things we're doing here at the Twit Network, the podcast network that I do, is making these videos. Because I think that, you know, so in fact, somebody's saying in the chat room, and yes, I will, the retina upgrade. One of the reasons I was willing to take a chance is I'm going to do the upgrade on, we have a show called Know How, where we show you how to do stuff. And I'll show you how to, I'll make the video. And if it breaks, well, it breaks. But at least you'll be able to see me doing it. I did it on my MacBook Air and it was easy. So I thought, well, all right, I'm feeling confident. Oh, Tennessee came back. Man, this is a good game. Wow. It's an exciting game. Folks, have you heard about ESET's cybersecurity for the Mac? All right, I'm going to I want to watch the game. Oh, man. He's out. Man, these kids, he blocked the plate like a pro. These kids are good. I don't know who's coaching them. They're getting good coaching. Wow, that's impressive. Tennessee doesn't look happy about that call. yeah, I'm very excited for Twit. I wish it were a studio Twit because I love Shira Lazar. I just adore her. I love Callie Lewis. And I would like to shake Kevin's hand, but they'll all be on Skype, unfortunately, because they're all in the other parts of the country. Callie's in Dallas, and Shira and Kevin are in L.A. So, unfortunately, we won't be meeting in person, but still be fun. Oh, Tennessee scored again, and they're on first and second. One out. Come on, get them. This is an exciting game. They got to be having a heart attack in Petaluma in the theaters. I know the hat's not, but I have to wear it. I have to represent. I'm going to wear it during Twit, too. Sorry. Has to represent. I'm wearing a Petaluma hat. Chris Marquardt, you're the best. Really appreciate it. Thank you for Photo Day. We'll do it again next year. I'll see you in... Where are you going to be back next week in Germany? Fun. Well, if you want to do a show, let me know, but if not, we'll save it for later. No problem. Summer's time is workshop time. Go to chrismarquardt.com and find out all about it.
Channel 7.
There goes Chris. You see him walking out. He's going the wrong way.
From Premier Radio Network.
He went out the back way. Oh, really? There's studio stuff. Right, right. Oh, good. Great. Oh. Whoa.
Tune to Premier Channel 7.
Whoa.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will begin at
double
6
play. Oh, you.
From Premier Radio Networks.
Ah. It's exciting, though. Still close. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Ba-ba-ba-bum. You vote for Tennessee. What is the main industry in Petaluma? It's a podcast. Talking to the chat room now. I don't know what the score is in the inning, but I think it's like fourth inning, top of the fourth. I think it's either 4-3 Tennessee, 5-3 Tennessee, something like that. If I had a baseball outfit, I would wear it on Twit. If I had a Petaluma Little League uniform, yes. Yeah, it's a San Francisco bedroom community, that's for sure. It's an hour north of San Francisco, though. Well, 35 or 40 minutes north of the bridge, but then you have to get into town. So it's about an hour north of San Francisco. So it's not the ideal bedroom community. It's a farming community, basically. So it's chickens, milk, eggs. It was very prosperous at the turn of the last century because we were one of the northernmost ports of the San Francisco Bay. So lumber, gold, food, so forth would come down. We're the gateway to Sonoma Valley, which is wine country. So a lot of tourism is a big part of our economy. It's a really Really cute little town. I moved here because I was commuting. So it is true. I mean, I moved here when I was at Tech TV, and actually even before then. Come to think of it, that was before. We moved here in 93.
To Premier Channel 7.
Or maybe early 90, late 93, early 94. So I was working at ZD, Ziff Davis, and doing TV shows for them. I was doing that first TV show, the personal computing show with Gina Smith, when we moved here. And I was doing radio in San Francisco. So, but then Tech TV was 5 years later. But I commuted from here to San Francisco for a long time. Almost 10 years, more than 10 years. 11 years. So I guess it is a bedroom community for some people. I love it here. Yeah, it was a miserable commute. Twit is Callie Lewis, Shira Lazar, and Kevin Pereira later today. Yeah, I was on KSFO, then later KGO. Actually, it was the other way. No, that's right. I started at KSFO, then went to KGO. No, I like the Tech Guy Lab site. I think I'm very happy with it. You know, it's brand new. We're still working out bugs, but I think it's an excellent site. You don't like it? What's wrong with it for you? What's not working for you? Well, a good day to you, Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about, technology, of course. Computers, the internet, cell phones, camcorders, MP3 players, home theater. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the number if you have a question, a comment, a suggestion. I'd love to hear from you. 888-827-5536. Our great new website, techguylabs.com, is online. You can go back through recent episodes, see the show notes, see our tip of the week, hero of the month, question of the week. But most importantly, really the real reason for this website is so that you can search for something you heard on the show and find it. If you ask, you say, oh, I want to hear what Leo said about, booting from a solid state drive. You can find, there's actually questions and answers. I'm looking at Zach from Gilbert, Arizona, episode 899. And what I love about this is we get a YouTube video of the show queuing right up to the question and the answer. So you can listen to it again. You can read my answer. And I hope you will comment on there and leave a message saying, hey, I agree. Yes, I bought that one. No, I didn't like that one. This is a good place to go. We've got two great people working on this site. James DeRuvo, as I speak, is writing it down, trying to get the basics in, and then afterwards, once the show has been edited and put up on YouTube or put out as a podcast, Josh Windisch comes in and he can tie in the questions to the video. And all of this is free, and the whole point of it is really to give you a chance to find the material that you want to know about. Even if you didn't hear it on the show, I hope you'll start using that to get questions answered, because as time goes by and there's more and more great stuff there, not just from me, but from our commenters, I think it's going to get better and better and better. TechGuyLabs.com. Leo.am, the brand new site, is up. Woohoo! Took us a long time. And thanks to the great folks at Lullabot, who did such a good job designing and implementing the site. Spencer, Santa Clarita, our next caller at 8888-ASK-LEO. Hi, Spencer.
Hey, Leo.
Welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Oh, well, I have some questions about my computer. I have an extremely old computer from 1999.
Oh, wow. That's older than you are, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
No one should have to use a computer that's older than they are.
Yeah. So, anyways, I have some questions. Like,
sure.
I was trying install Adobe Flash Player 11.1.
Yeah, forget it. That computer is probably not fast enough to use it.
I know. So my friend, who thinks he knows a lot about computers, what he did was he took out my current Adobe Flash player.
I like the thinks he knows more about computers.
Yeah, he really doesn't know anything.
Obviously, that's your. Clearly, you don't agree with.
Yeah, so he completely took out Adobe Flash Player 10 and tried to install Adobe Flash Player 11.1, but he. But my computer couldn't handle it, so.
Right.
You know,
Flash is a pig. Flash is dying. Adobe's basically giving up on it. It's a pig. It's bug-ridden. Unfortunately, a lot of stuff uses it, including, by the way, all the videos that you see of this show are on Flash. But that's for, you know, historic reasons. I think in the years to come, we can say goodbye to Flash. But Flash, I mean, a 1999 vintage computer, what version of Windows is it running? 98?
No, Windows 2000.
Ah, good choice. That's a good choice. So at least it's rock solid, right?
Oh, yeah.
What is it? What, does it run at all, or does it complain, or does it just really slow?
It's extremely slow.
Yeah, that's because the computer is so slow. And Flash is a pig. Flash needs a huge amount. Even on a modern computer, Flash will use 80 or 90% of your CPU. So
really?
it just doesn't have enough memory, probably, and it doesn't have enough processor to run. You're just going to have to give up on that. In fact, I would give up. I love Windows 2000. Until Windows 7, it was, in my opinion, the best version of Windows ever made.
Yeah,
but it might be good to put something a little lighter weight on there. How about, have you thought about putting Linux on there?
My friend tried to put an operating system Linux.
Yeah.
My friend, the same friend who thinks he knows a lot about computers really doesn't, he tried to put Linux in too.
Yeah, what happened then?
Wouldn't cooperate. He said my computer wouldn't cooperate. So
I like on an older computer. I really like to put Linux on older computers because you could. Now the first thing is you can't use a modern Linux. Well, you can use a modern one, but you can't use one designed for modern machines like Ubuntu. What you need to do is use a Linux designed for older machines. We actually, if you go to the know-how section of our YouTube site, youtube.com/twit, we have an installing Puppy Linux on an old computer. And that's a nice, lightweight, very easy to use Linux.
You said it's on your YouTube page?
Yeah, youtube.com/twit. It's called
slash
TWIT. And the show is called Know How. And one of the shows we did, Iaz Akhtar, who hosts the show with me, showed us how to install Linux on a really old machine. I think it's a good. First of all, Linux is free, so you don't have to spend any money. And it's designed, in this case, for machines with slower processors and, most importantly, less memory. How much memory do you have on there?
I have left or how much RAM?
No, RAM.
Okay, RAM, I think maybe 2 gigs.
No.
Maybe?
I guarantee you not. It's probably more than 512 megabytes.
512 megabytes?
Megabytes. half a gig. And that's almost more than the processor. That's the issue.
Oh.
Yeah. The motherboard of that vintage could not support that much RAM. So that's more the, you know, the processor itself is what kind of processor do you know?
It's a Pentium 3.
Okay. So it's a Pentium 3 probably running at well under a gigahertz, maybe running 750 megahertz, something like that. It's not only Flash. A lot of stuff's not going to run well. That computer will run just fine if you put software from 1999 on it. So Windows 2000, for instance, should run okay on it. I think the truth is a Linux should run better if you pick the right Linux. Puppy Linux is my recommendation. Puppy Linux. And we did a little video that shows you everything you need to know about installing it on there. I think a less powerful computer is fine, but you're going to have to nurse it along. And where you really get in trouble is where you try to do modern stuff like Flash. Not going to work. Dennis, good luck, Spencer. It's nice to talk to you. Dennis, Louisville, Kentucky. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Sure, Dennis. Nice to talk to you.
I've been listening to your shows for at least 5 years, and I've been a tech guy for most of my life, so I like to think of myself as somewhat knowledgeable, but I got completely schooled. So you know Matt Honan's hack?
Yes.
A couple weeks
Yes.
I got hacked the very same night.
Oh.
In pretty much the same way, all for my Twitter name. The guy did it to take my Twitter name and sell it for a quick buck.
Oh.
So I'm not a pop.
So sorry.
Yeah, and I have no connections, so a support ticket is all I can do, you know? So that's what I did. I filed a ticket that night. I got my account back 4 days later, but it still got the wrong name. The hacker renamed it to take my Twitter name. Well, the thing is, Twitter stopped responding when I asked them to give me the name back. So,
Yeah, Matt had an advantage. He's a well-known tech journalist.
Yeah, so, I actually spoke to him, and he tried to help me out, but I've still not gotten.
You know, I wish I could say I could help you, but they don't help me either. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We'll talk about it more in a bit. Oh. Four, three in the bottom of the third. Petaluma up, coming up to bat. Believe it or not, the most valuable part
of showing the veteran, the World Wrist Wrestling Championship. That's old. Oh my gosh. That's ABC News from way back when. Looks like the 70s.
That's when Petaluma used to be the wrist wrestling capital of the world. That's really funny. It looks like a VHS tape they're showing. How funny. Carbonite. It's what I use. It's the better backup plan, and you've got to try it. Yeah, that's from the wide world of sports, isn't it? Yeah. We were famous for that was the one thing we were famous for. My God, he fainted. For you to back up all your computer's servers and external hard drives. You got to start your free trial. Now they're wrist wrestling. That's cute. Carbonite.com offer code. If you're just tuning in, I'm watching the Little League World Series because P-Town representing the West there, our own Little League team. It's the Petaluma Nationals, same team that my son was on. He never played at that age. He started playing lacrosse by that age, but it's fun. It's the same league, I guess, that my son was in. Oh, man. Ah. Can you watch Twit without Flash? You can on an iPhone if you use the Twit app. On an iPad if you use the Twit app, the one from ShiftKey Software. Both of those lock into an HLS stream that we offer, the HTTP stream that we pay for. But our providers, Ustream, Justin, and BitGravity, who do the streams you see on Twit Live, all use Flash. Ustream, I think, has an HTTP stream. You might be able to tap into that. I'm not sure how. And you can use VLC, but you're just playing back a Flash file from VLC. If you go to wiki.twit.tv, you'll see on the front page there how to watch, and it shows you all the different ways you can watch. This is the same mic. My Bob Heil mic. We got it fixed. We got a new element because, remember, it was rattling a little bit. My Heil PR40. How does one view a Flash site with an iPad? Sophia, you can't view it directly. We're talking to the chat room here. You can use, there are apps or browsers like Skyfire that will transcode it, but you can't view Flash on an iPad. You could use a VPN like Screens to, or go to my PC to go to a computer that has Flash on it and look at it that way. The Flash will not work on an iPad, and Android, and Adobe's just stopped offering it on Android as well. I do not recommend attempting to use Flash in any way. Unfortunately, Tennessee seems to have settled down a
large, low-cost, large-format scanner. I like the Epson Perfection scanners. I think they're very affordable, and they have very good quality. Let me talk a little bit about ShareFile very quickly. ShareFile, another one of our great sponsors. You know, I've had a relationship with Citrix for, since the Screensavers, since Expert City, so that's 12 years. So, I love them. When they came to me, they said, we've got a new way of sharing files for business. I kind of jumped on it because I was a little unhappy with the commercial or the consumer, I should say, stuff that I had been using. So they set me up. They said, well, let's set you up. You try it, and if you decide you like it, we can do some ads. So they set me up with this ShareFile account. Notice it's branded. It's one of the things I like about it. It's very professional. You do not need to have a ShareFile account to access the files I send you. And I have total control over what I'm sending out. So if you've been using email, you know if the file gets too big, you get bounce backs. It's rude to send anything more than a meg or two. And nowadays, all the files we're sharing in business are bigger and bigger and bigger. ShareFile has some nice features, too, though. You control how they download it. Let me show you. Let's say I want to share, I'll actually share an individual file. So you have, by the way, you have a phone book with people with different access capabilities. This is for total control for business. Nothing in there. Let's find something where there's something. Oh, wait a minute. That was good. The copy. Yeah, that has something there. So let's say I want to share this document. Click the box and send. Now, there's two ways you can do it. By the way, there's an Outlook plugin that makes it just like email. Or you can send an email from the page. But I want to get the link. And then here's some of the reason I'm showing you this is some of the configurable settings. You could say, email me when the item's been downloaded. You don't have to, but you can say any of these. Require recipients to enter name and email before downloading so you could track them. You can expire the download or don't have to, but you can. You could say how many times they can download the file. So this gives you a lot of control. And then I'm going to get a link. This is, notice, HTTPS. It's a secure link. And I'll show you what they get. So let me back up here and paste that link into my browser, and I'll show you what they see. This, it's very pro. They get a thumbnail of the document. It's branded, right? Doesn't say share file. It says TWIT. And they just have a download link. This makes it very easy even for unsophisticated users. Total control of it. ShareFile is really great. HIPAA compliant, compliant with all industry standards. I want you to try it right now. Go to ShareFile.com. And the promo code is TechGuy, one word, if you want to try it, free for 30 days. It is the business. Citrix wanted to do something for business. No bounce backs, almost unlimited file sizes. I think it goes up to 10 gigabytes. Great way to share. Safe, secure, pro, ShareFile.com.
Oh, Leo Laporte.
The Tech Guy, 8888, Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Website is TechGuyLabs.com, or you can go to Leo.am if you don't want to type. Leo.am. Poor Dennis, Louisville, Kentucky, got hacked. This happens more often than you think on Twitter. Do you know how you got hacked, Dennis?
Yeah, I actually talked to the guy who did it shortly thereafter. So that's the only way I know how, because I didn't get any investigation from these guys at Twitter.
Yeah, you know, Twitter is a free service, and I got to tell you, when it's a free service, especially one like Twitter that's very successful with millions and millions of users.
Yeah, absolutely. The support staff is just swamped. They can only pay enough attention to see that the title of the ticket is hacked, and then they send me a password reset and think that's good.
Hey, I'm amazed that you got your account back in 4 days. So the problem is the name is wrong?
Yeah. The guy renamed my account so that he could take the name, and then he deleted it. So what Twitter did was they undeleted it, but they didn't change the name back.
And you can't change it now because he has your name.
Yeah, the guy sold it already. So I can't change the name back. I need somebody at Twitter to intervene.
Well, you can file a ticket that says somebody's impersonating you. You might get a faster response on that.
That's true. I actually did file another ticket to clarify, but they just that's when they just sent me a password reset. So I guess I just need to be more persistent and keep filing tickets until I get a response.
And you may never get a response. I mean, part of the problem is that this is one way people try to hack you is by filing a complaint. So, you know,
I just don't know what the answer is. I don't think Twitter is, you know, they don't make any money. And they have millions of users. They're spending venture capital right now. And all of that support team, and there's probably hundreds of people on the support team, are still swamped. So I just don't know if there's some magical cure for this. When you're using a free service, you can't, well, it's bad enough when we buy a computer and we get junky service, but this is free. You know, you've given them no money. And Google, Twitter, Facebook, you can't expect a lot of customer service, frankly. Twitter's gotten worse and worse and worse in this. And by the way, Twitter has completely alienated the developer community. This week, they announced new rules for people who write Twitter applications that I believe were designed to put those people out of business. As part of Twitter's desire to make money, they need to control how you see Twitter because they want to put ads in it. So I've not been happy with Twitter for a long time. I use it, and I love it. This is the irony. It works. It's a great service, and I really love it. And I have lots of Twitter conversations, and I use it all the time to promote what we're doing. But there's some real flaws, one of which is that this is a private company that is in no way responsive to its users or to its developer community. They don't have to be. I would submit that they are stewards of something that is bigger than just the company Twitter. This is an internet messaging. Some people call it dial tone for the internet that is so valuable, so important that it's almost a utility at this point. However, they're a private company, and they have no obligation to respond to us in any way. So I'm very disappointed at the direction Twitter's taken, but I understand it's business. And you know, somebody once said on Metafilter, and we don't know who said it, that if you're not paying for something, you're the product. If you're getting something for free, you're the product. They're selling you to somebody else. In this case, in Twitter's case, they're selling you to advertisers. And they haven't figured out how to do that yet. And so I don't know what the answer is. But I could tell you one thing. Anybody who builds their business around Twitter is making a big mistake. Whether you're saying that this is how I communicate with my customers, or I'm going to make a Twitter application, you'd be making a big mistake to build your business. And I say this, too, about Facebook. A lot of companies, I think, make Facebook their only presence on the web. That's a big mistake. You need to have a web page that you own. And that should be the first point that people go to find you. If it's Twitter or Facebook, you're just hoping and praying that they don't do something that hurts your business. And you have no recourse if they do. Somebody hacks your name, hacks your business name on Twitter, don't count on getting it back. You might, but you might not. Mike in El Segundo, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Leo. Thank you. I saw the most incredible, amazing documentary movie on the big screen in an AMC theater last night, and I was just really impressed with it, not only the research and content, but also the way they intermix very high quality video with lower quality videos that were either news videos or some of them maybe YouTube. Probably news videos put on YouTube. So obviously there are times if you're making a documentary, you may not be able to get high-quality video of everything you want to document or provide proof of. And, oh, by the way, the movie, I don't know if you've seen it yet, it just came out recently. It's 2016, Obama's America, so you can see a trailer at 2016themovie.com. And I've started getting into making videos, not nearly anything like that. In fact, that one is actually produced by a major producer, produced Schindler's List, Jurassic Park, and Braveheart. So I thought it was really neat to see a very professionally done video using techniques that ordinary people like us can use to make our own videos. Because obviously you can use a digital SLR to make high-quality video.
Oh,
but
you
then
bet.
You still...
I mean, that's what I talk about on the show all the time. We're in the middle of a revolution here where you can... I'm running a television station. I do 25 shows a week with consumer camcorders, PCs. That's part of the digital revolution. It's a two-part thing. Digital technology's brought the price down so low of the cameras, of the mixers, of the microphones, that it no longer do you have to have millions of dollars to buy the control room, to buy the gear. And then the second side is distribution, and that's why YouTube is very exciting. And by the way, let's not just think of YouTube, because the same problem I was talking about with the last caller happens to YouTube too. Don't build your business on YouTube, because there's no guarantee that YouTube won't do something to damage you. Google's a private company. They don't have to take care of you. So remember, there's other companies, Blip TV and Vimeo and lots of other places, and use them. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Nevertheless, this free video distribution, Ustream, Justin TV, we use that. Means I don't have to build a tower. I don't have to own a transmitter. I don't have to go to the FCC and get a license. I can do a radio or television station using inexpensive digital technology, using freely available distribution over the internet, reach a global audience. The cost is a tiny fraction of what it used to cost. That's very exciting. That's the democratization of the U.S. Now, this movie is produced by very, very wealthy people. So this actually isn't a great example, but it looks good because they spent millions and millions of dollars. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. If you've got a question, a comment, or suggestion, I'd love to hear from you. 888-827-5536. Pure Tea Party. And that's what the guy wanted to do, is promote the Tea Party. Not even close to an amateur film. They've got two of the richest guys in the world funding the bill. Let's see here. Moving on to Tom in Riverside, California, our next caller. Hey, Tom. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Hey.
I have a request for some info on CPU usage and temperature and fans and stuff like that. And I wanted to know if you have any recommendations about software off the internet that I could put on my computer that would measure those.
Most modern computers, in fact, most computers in the last decade have had sensors on them to monitor all of that stuff. And then the problem is that they all do it kind of differently. There's a utility I've used for years called Motherboard Monitor. That's a free utility, MBM. I don't know if they're still around. I guess not. You could still download it. The problem is it has to work with your particular set of hardware and BIOS and so forth. So that's one to look for. The chat room is saying there's one called HW Monitor. Oh, that's the old CPU ID. Yeah, this company's been around for a long time. I would trust them. CPUID.com. And they make a program called HW Monitor that does exactly that. Mostly this is used by overclockers because they want to monitor temperatures and voltages and fan speeds and things like that so that they can overclock. But
I have a situation where when I go to drag and drop something, if I hold the left key down, my fans start ramping up, and I wanted to monitor it to find out what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, what you'll probably see is that the heat's going up, and so the fans are going up, and I don't know if that'll help you diagnose the problem. It'd just be more information that it's happening. That's odd. So you hold down the click button.
If I left click and drag and drop something, if I just drag and drop it, not a problem. But if I drag and drop it and try to put it in a specific spot and I'm holding, then the speed starts ramping up.
Wow, isn't that interesting? I don't know why that would be.
I don't either.
You know, it's funny. You don't know how hard a computer is working. You know, and sometimes it's working harder than you think. For instance, one of the ways we used to see how fast a computer is by scrolling a web page. And rendering that page turns out to be very intensive.
So I know there must be something to do with the click and the drag and drop. I don't know. That's interesting. I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway, there's the answer. HW. This looks like it's kept up to date, and CPU ID's been around a long time. HW okay. monitor.
Could I ask one more question?
Sure.
I have also. I wanted to monitor my throughput on my internet. You know, the amount up and down. And
right.
Speed. Is there any good software out there to do that with?
I'm going to tell you a couple of things. If what you're looking at is what's going on with my internet, there's something called Netalyzer that is a project by the University of California at Berkeley that I really like because it will tell you a lot about how your network's configured, which often, if you, are you trying to diagnose speed issues or?
Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm thinking about changing my provider. And I'm trying to, you know, there's certain providers that cap you at certain,
yeah.
you know, usage per month. And I don't know how much I'm using. And I want to find out before I start checking around to different providers.
Yeah. That's a very reasonable question. Yeah. So the chat room's given me a couple. DU meter from Hagel Tech.
What's that?
DU, download, upload, meter.
Oh, okay.
From Hagel Tech. And it does exactly that, and it does it over time, so you get a graph.
Mm-hmm.
$22, not free.
Okay.
And then I've used for a long time something called NetStat Live that will do the same thing. It's a bandwidth monitor.
Okay.
This is my friend Analog X wrote this ages ago, and I guess it would still work. I mean, it says it works, yeah, on all the versions of Windows, from Windows 95 to Windows 7. And that's
okay.
free, so that's NetStat Live. I'm glad Analog X has kept that up to date. That's a great little bandwidth monitor. These are both Windows.
Okay. Yeah, I got XP and 7.
Yeah, I'd start with NetStat Live because I think this is he designed this to do exactly what you wanted to do.
Okay.
He wanted to monitor what's going on.
Great.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Yeah, Analog X, Mark Thompson out of Phoenix, Arizona. Great shareware and freeware author. He's given away a lot of stuff over the years. Payam from London, England. Hey, Payam. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello. Are you glad the Olympics have moved out?
Who's moved out? Oh, the people.
The Olympics, you know that. Remember that thing that was going on with the circles and the rings and the fireworks and all that stuff?
I know. Actually, I wanted to tell you something about the Olympics. I mean, I've heard you talking about the BBC coverage of the Olympics. There was an screening of Super High Vision. I'm not sure if you've heard about it.
I have. Did you go see it?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Oh,
was
I'm so jealous. So this was a project out of actually Japan. I think it was NT Docomo or Nippon TV that did this. You've heard us talk about HD and then the next generation, which is 4K, which is going to be twice the resolution horizontally and vertically. This is more than that. It's almost 8K. So realistic that I'm told, and of course we couldn't see it, but there were showings in London. I'm told it's like looking through a window. So I'm so jealous, Payam. So you give us a report. You went and saw it.
Yeah, it was beautiful. One thing that I think that even the normal television should do, because a lot of times they zoom in to make sure that you see the details. There was no, there's no reason for them to zoom in when you have so much.
Yeah, so, good point.
Yeah, it was a very good quality, and also it would give you an alternative view because, well, obviously I watched the opening ceremony and a lot of events, and then they were having, because they were also had different cameras for 3D, and there were different cameras for super high vision, so the same Olympic being shown in so many different versions. And this version, you were sitting among the audience. Well, you're not hearing the people around you, but you're hearing the audio is also great because it's 360 degrees. Oh. I don't know you can find out on those websites how many channels they have. But you could feel the musicians playing around. You could hear, you could see how the queen fell down from the parachutes and everything.
You could see that it wasn't even the queen in ultra high definition.
No, because they didn't zoom that much in, but you could also see the details of that tiny thing falling down, and you could see how those people in the audience felt when when they watched.
So what you're really saying, it was like being there.
Very much. I mean, still, I could see the difference between reality and that. But, they said before the presentation that the details are so high that the eye cannot really understand any more than that.
Right.
But remember also that was in a big screen, like in the cinema screen.
Right.
It was a very small theater, but, they were talking about televisions. If you had a tiny 50-inch compared to that screen, obviously, 50-inch screen in the future, they're saying 20 years from now, but I hope earlier than that. If you have that at home with so much detail, I don't see what you can deliver in those screens, obviously.
You'll never leave the house. Hey, hang on, Payan, because I know you have a question. You're on Skype, right?
Yeah, I am.
Good, so this won't cost you anything. I'm going to put you on hold. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So glad to talk to somebody who saw that. Sounds amazing. Sounds really, really, really good.
In IT, it's challenging enough when your team is...
Yeah, then you'll have Matt and Meredith, right?
So if you have to support members that work remotely. Nowadays, everybody does. That's why you need Go to Assist from Citrix.
That's interesting. They're taking
the entire IT world from one
pictures
cloud-based platform. Go to Assist.
Of kids.
Up and running, while keeping all of your users.
Wow. I'm watching this Little League World Series on ABC. It looks like they're using tablets to take pictures of the kids in front of a backdrop. Not a camera, but a tablet. But it's not an iPad. It looks like a Galaxy 10-inch. Very interesting. 5-4 now. Petaluma at bat. One man on, two outs, one boy on. Good. Good eye. This is exciting. All of Petaluma is just galvanized by this. They won their first game on Thursday, I guess it was.
That's GoToAssist.com.
So we're very excited about our Petaluma kids. Hey, let me. You know what else I'm excited about? I want to talk a little bit about my phone system. I hope you've heard me talk about this before. It's RingCentral.com, the number one cloud-based phone system. When we built the studios, we needed to get phones. I've never owned a business before. I had no idea. I realized after, we never did this at the cottage. We didn't have enough people, and it just kind of grew. And I realized, I have to figure out what a phone system. And my only experience had been in the bad old days where you had a PBX, one of those big. It's like a computer, but it's like complicated thing in the basement. And so I was very happy when Russell told us about RingCentral. He said, "I've installed this with a lot of clients now, and I really like it. So would you want to try it?" And we did. And we have been so happy. First of all, it's good for me as the boss. Zero startup costs. It starts at $20 per month per user, and that includes a lot of nice features, including free long distance, email, voicemail in the email, faxes in email. You can fax to us. A great PBX-like system. When you call our main line, it says, it's got a whole phone tree and everything. It's really great. And it will ring my cell phone. I can set it up so that I have the RingCentral app on my cell phone, Android, iPhone, BlackBerry, and then it will ring those phones, or you can make calls from those phones using your business number. It is really great. We've got a 30-day risk-free trial. I think you're going to like this. That includes a special deal. You buy one desk phone, you get a second phone free, up to 20 phones. So that is a huge deal. All-inclusive pricing as low as $20 per month per user, 30-day risk-free trial, and two-for-one phone deal up to 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980. That's the number you see on the screen if you're watching video. 800-543-9980. Or you can go to ringcentral.com, and the promo code on this is TWIT. We've been so happy with the RingCentral phone system. It's a year in now. Not glitch one. It's been the most reliable thing ever. And everybody, including my producers, love it because they get, they look at their email and their voicemails in the email as a recording. RingCentral.com. Give it a try.
I'm so happy that we chose Ring Central. Want to see my desk phone? Lovely Polycom phone. Multi-line. Lots of really nice features. A Do Not Disturb button, which I really like. You get so much control of this. And it's all in the cloud. There's no PBX in the basement or anything. So, yes, I love my... This multi-line. We've got a Polycom conference phone in the conference room. It's really cool. It works really well, I gotta say. All right, here we go. Here we go.
All right, Leo. 9:32 here.
Okay.
For your live read.
Okay.
Afternoons, when the light is pouring in, the buttered sunshine on your skin is full of love and vitamins, and they always end too soon. It's Petaluma afternoon.
I never heard this before. I didn't know we had a theme song here in P-Town. This is so interesting. This is the excitement when you have something like this. Our Little League team is right now playing in the Little League World Series in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And they've had a great season. And it's been fun to watch as the town gets galvanized. Now they've taken over the movie theater, the movie theater in town. And they're showing the ball game on the big screen, and people are going crazy. It's really fun. It's really fun. You've heard me probably talk about my little town, Petaluma, before. It's only, about 55,000 people. It's not a big town. But it's fun. Good place to raise my kids, anyway. Let's see. We were talking to Payam in London, another great city. When you're a town like London, you don't have to celebrate a Little League World Series. You got some real things to celebrate, but like the Olympics. I'm so jealous, Payam, that you got to see that ultra-high-def broadcast, and I'm just excited about that. I think we will see it sooner than 20 years, too.
Yeah, they did it in Washington, so I assume they do some more trials.
Oh, yeah, they'll do lots more. And what I don't think you'll have 50-inch screens. I think that it's true that when you get that kind of resolution, you need a bigger screen. I think you'll have one wall in your room will be dedicated to the screen.
Yeah, all the things that you see in the movies, I'm sure that it's going to happen in the near future. Oh, yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
So what question can I answer for you?
We'll go there in a minute, but I have to express how happy I am I'm talking to you. I used to listen to you originally in Iran, where I come from.
Wow.
I only moved 3-4 years ago to London. And there, with the internet, downloading the MP3 files, so slow, but still so rewarding when you get the file and then put it on your tiny MP3 player back then, and then listen it to on the way, to school, come back. So very happy I'm talking to you.
Hi, and that's and I am so grateful to you for telling me about that. And I have to say, that is one of the things that I just love about this internet media. It's just a revolution. We talk all over the world now. It's a global phenomenon. I just love it. So thank you. It's very kind of you.
Loads more people listen to you than talking to you on the air.
Yeah.
But going back to my question, I have an HTC Desire HD, which HTC is so lovely here in the UK. Well, maybe there as well. I had some difficulties. I sent it to them after 2 years, and then they sent me, it feels quite like a new one. So it's all working fine, and I don't have any complaints with it. But I've had all these ROMs that people put on their phones, more than adding any more functionality. It's just the feeling that everybody does it, so why I'm not? And you always tell us about XDA developers the other weekend. I said, okay, I'm sitting down here doing this. I went and downloaded the last ROM, 400 megabytes on my computer, but I have no idea where in this beautiful website.
Now what? So the first thing you thing you do is you go to the forums. So this is xda-developers.com. You go to the forums and you find your device, the HTC Desire. And then you'll see that there are forums all about it. And I would start with the general. They usually have a sticky post that says, what ROMs you could put on it. Now, here's why you might want to do that. What is the current version of Android on that Desire?
Well, that's HTC Desire HD. It's a bit different.
But the HD, okay.
Yeah, gingerbread.
Okay, so you're a little behind. Maybe you'd like to get Jelly Bean
or ice cream sandwich on there. Ice cream sandwich is the, let's see, you're on gingerbread, so ice cream sandwich would be the next one, and jelly bean is the latest. So that's one reason. The other reason you might want to do it is because you can. There are programs you can run that you can't run on the phone unless you jailbreak it. For instance, Titanium Backup, which is a very good backup program, requires root access. So there are reasons to do this. It is generally harmless. It's not too dangerous. I mean, anytime you're messing with firmware, you can brick your phone. So you've got to follow the instructions carefully and do, for instance, get the instructions for the Desire HD.
Sorry to interrupt, Leo. I mean, now again, you switched back to the thing that the benefits and everything, how great it is. But as a case study, I don't really know. I've been in that website for 2 hours trying to find it, thinking not to do it. I don't know. Is there a way to find after the show, doing a show note of where exactly on this website you go, or a guide? Because I found a lot of places that they actually put everything in one page, but again, on dodgy website, I'm not sure how to.
It is a little. You know, I agree. It's awfully geeky. So the first thing you did is you went to forums, you searched for your device, you've got the Desire HD, and you'll see. In Desire HD, there's general, there's Q&A, there's accessories, there's Android development, that's the one you want, and there's HD themes and apps. So if you're looking to put ROMs on a device, you'll go to the Android development list, and then you're going to look for, oh, you're right, it's not immediately obvious where you go on this. Generally, there'll be sticky threads that are kept right at the top. That'll say things like README. At the top it says development list, ROMs, kernels, and more. That's probably where you wanna look. You're right, you gotta I'm sorry you spent 3 hours going through this.
But it's reassuring that you're telling me it's not as easy.
No, it's not like, hey, hi Piam, here's how you root your phone. So there'll be two steps that you'll wanna do. The first thing I would do, and you can also do a Google search, because while XDA developers is, generally the preferred place, there are often other places you can go to get this information. Because the first thing you want to do before you do ROMs is root it. So I would Google, and I just did here, root 8 Desire HD. And in fact, the first entry on the Google search was how to root the HTC Desire HD on XDA developers. So that's good. So now we've got the thread. And it's got a YouTube video that will describe the process. Now, you want to do this root first. That's the first thing you do. It doesn't change anything on your phone. It just gives you super user access. That is not something you normally get on an Android phone. Normally, you're a limited user, but obviously, you can't put any mods or ROMs on there until you do. Once you do that, the rest is very easy. Then you'll put an application that's actually in the Play Store called Clockwork Mod on here, and that application gives you a menu that you can choose. You back up your existing ROMs and then choose a new run, and you can try all different kinds right from the menu.
I think I'm just a bit unlucky, because the page you're showing right now with all the instruction, the link to that program is dead, and apparently that doesn't work.
Well, maybe it is older, so let's see. There's the Advanced Ace Hack Kit, which is probably the one I would use. Don't be fooled by, looks like this. It says, parted ways with XDA developers. Nothing to see here. So whoever make that has moved on. That I don't think is a good sign. It is an older phone. It may be that, ironically, that whoever was developing this hasn't kept it. Anyway, I keep looking. I think you're close. So step one is root, so that you have access, and you get a lot of the benefits right away, things like Titanium Backup, which is great. Step two is put Clockwork Mod on there, and the rest is easy.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, Leo.
Well, I hope you can find the right thing. And you know what, Piam, you're not really missing out on anything. It's more if people want to mess around and stuff. Where I started doing that was where I felt, I'm never going to get this phone updated. The phone company's never going to give me an up-to-date ROM. I got to do it myself. And there's sometimes problems too. A lot of times these ROMs, especially if they're newer, don't do all the things. The GPS doesn't work or the camera doesn't work. So you are living a little bit on the bleeding edge now. And I guess step one is to figure out how to do it, right? If you can't figure out how to do it, it ain't going to get done. Well, a good day to you, Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. It's time to talk about computers and the internet, cell phones and camcorders, MP3 players, home theater, and hacking your Android device. 888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. I'm doing a little searching around. I guess, you know, in some ways, our last caller wanted to put a new ROM on his Android phone, hack it, in effect. And I guess, in a way, it's appropriate for there. If you can't figure out how to do it, you probably shouldn't do it. You know, you have to have enough ability to find the threads and so forth, and it isn't necessarily that easy. And I think that's what Payam was saying as well. Everybody acts like it's so easy to do, but I'm having trouble. I searched around. I searched for the hack kit that they recommended. I found another site, androidforums.com, that has a Desire HD unrooting kit and so forth. So, you know, just you got to figure out how to find the information. And frankly, if you can't do that, you probably should maybe take that as a sign. It's not for you. They don't make it easy. It's not simple. And it is a little bit risky. You have to understand you're taking some risk on, because you could brick your phone and so forth. But there are some advantages as well. By doing so, you just give it more flexibility. Unlike jailbreaking the iPhone, I think rooting Android is not very complicated. Many manufacturers now allow it. In fact, Motorola, just kind of a surprise, said you could do this on the Photon. And I think that they actually provide instructions themselves. They've unlocked it. And I think more and more you're going to see that. Let's go to Fran in Los Angeles. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Fran.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for being so patient.
I need to replace the battery on my Dell computer. I checked with Dell, and they have one, but it's very pricey, and I was wondering about buying. They say they're OEM quality. I'm just wondering if you have any suggestions of where to get or what to buy. My computer came with a six-cell battery, and I'm thinking about the 9-cell giving a longer life.
Yeah, the key is lithium ion batteries are explosive. They will literally explode if overcharged, like a bomb. And so all lithium ion batteries that are made well have circuitry to prevent them from being overcharged. That's for your safety. Otherwise, they'll burst into flame and they can explode like a bomb. So there's a risk if you buy a Chinese compatible battery that it may not be well manufactured and it could be dangerous. Now, if you buy from Dell, you know it's going to be reliable and safe. The real question is this kind of in-between thing. These people who, like the parts people, claim that, well, this is the same part. Dell just slaps their name on it, and that becomes a Dell. And if that's true, if you can trust them, then that'd be a better choice. If it really is the OEM part, and that's certainly what the parts people claim. I don't have any reason to doubt them, but I don't know how you would be sure of that.
Okay, some of the websites say that they have a policy that if it damages your computer, they will spend up to, you know, it's insured for $500,000.
Yeah, this is their way of kind of trying to reassure you because it's known that this is a potential problem.
Okay.
You're going to somewhere, mainly I would say go to somewhere reputable. In fact, I would try parts-people.com. They sell all the Dell parts, including the Dell batteries. They say these are the same exact parts Dell is selling without the Dell label. They do have they've been around a long time, 10 years, doing Dell repairs. They live on Dell, so I would trust them.
Parts-people.com.
Yep.
Okay, and I have another question that has to do with my Mac computer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for software that will do financial software. I've been using Quicken, but I'm not real happy with it. Is there anything else you would suggest?
Yeah, there is. I mean, Intuit is getting out of the business.
I know.
It's pretty obvious, isn't it? they don't want to make Quicken anymore. but what they did is they bought a company a little while ago called Mint, M-I-N-T, that gives you many of the benefits of Quicken without any data entry, because Mint ties into your accounts, all of your accounts, and does the data entry for you. And sometimes people say, well, wait a minute, I'm not going to give them my bank account information. I trust them. A, they're owned by Intuit, but B, the back end that they use, the place where that you're giving the information to, is a company called Yodlee. And that's the same company the banks use for their online services. In other words, they already have your bank information.
Uh-huh.
So I like Mint a lot. I trust it. I use it. What I'll do is I'll let Mint basically get all the transactions. It does it in real time, so you're always up to date. For all my accounts, including my investment accounts, my house, my car, all my assets, and, of course, my bank and charger cards. And so it's always up to date. And then I go through it periodically, and they categorize. And they do a good job of categorizing, because that's one of the reasons people use Intuit, is for balancing the checkbook, but also for budgeting. And I go through it, and I make sure, you know, I spot check it. I'll also, there, you know, a lot of times with a check, they won't know what category, so I'll add that information in. Much like you would on Quicken, assign categories or reassign categories if they're in error. And it, then
right.
You have the result that you would have from Quicken, which is a balanced checkbook. You know what your balance is at all times. There's some nice features. There are smartphone apps for the iPhone and Android phone. It will text message you. You can set a limit and say, hey, if my bank account drops below 100 bucks, send me a text message. There's a lot of nice features. I really like Mint.
Okay. I will check that one out. I think someone else had mentioned that, but I wanted, since I was been on the phone this long, I figured I'd take advantage.
Yeah, get two questions in. You bet.
Input. I love your show. I listen every Saturday, sometimes on Sundays. I think it's terrific. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
But I will check out parts-people.com for the battery.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. It's a great question. I think a lot of people want to know. Is it safe to buy these third-party batteries? And it is if it's from a reputable dealer. It is not if it's not. And, you know, we always see these stories, batteries exploding, you know, particularly in cell phones lately. And upon further investigation, invariably it was not a manufacturer's original part, but a third-party, cheap, usually Chinese knockoff that didn't have the right, circuitry in it to protect it. You know, that's why it's so cheap. they're not complying with federal regulations. Jackie, San Francisco, listening to News Talk 910. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Leo. I've been a longtime iPhone user, and I recently bought the new Samsung Galaxy Note and love the large screen. I'm legally blind. And on the iPhone, I used to could tap the screen twice and enlarge the whole screen, not just for photos and not just for, like, text and email. And I'm wondering how to do that on the Galaxy Note.
Yeah, I don't know if they have the same kind of accessibility features on the Galaxy Note. I mean, that's one of the things Apple does so well on the iPhone is accessibility.
Yeah.
So. In the browser, of course, you can double tap and enlarge text or pinch and zoom.
Right.
But you're saying that on the iPhone, that must be an accessibility feature that you turn on in the iPhone. That you can do it anywhere. You can zoom the screen anywhere. Huh?
Yeah.
What?
See, that's my problem. I need to be able to enlarge the whole.
Sure. You know, I don't know. Let me see if somebody in the chat room knows, Jackie. I'm gonna check for you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I mean, look in the accessibility features. I didn't know you could do that on an iPhone, to be honest. That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
If you're a sysadmin or you're in IT, you know the classic juggling act.
This is the Galaxy S3
running reliably on sometimes ancient hardware, and still they expect you to roll it.
I would guess it's the same. Sorry about that. Add thing. Okay. auto-rotate screen, speak passwords, call answering ending, accessibility shortcuts, screen timeout, lock automatically, talk back, install web scripts, negative colors. Well, you can increase the font size to huge. Doesn't look like they have that zoom. Assistive touch, huh? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Apple trademarked or copied or patented it, right? Yeah, I don't think they have assistive touch. No, it's tied up, man. It's all right. Now, how many innings do they play? They play seven? We're in the top of the sixth. Tied at 5-5. It's very exciting. Six? They only play six? So this is it. Yikes! They did patent the feature that really makes the iPhone great, where you're in a browser and you double tap something and it zooms to just the right size for that thing. Android doesn't do it as well. So they'll play extra. They can play extra innings, huh? Oh, that pitcher looks so young. He's so little. Golly. There you go. Catch it. Oh, he drops it. Hold them at second. That's the way to do it. Mint does not store the passwords. Yodlee does. So when you're on it, when you're giving Mint that information, it's being stored by Yodlee. So that's the whole point. It isn't being. You're not giving it to Mint. You're giving it to Yodlee. Now you have to trust Yodlee. Oh, the pressure's on. Yeah, they get the data. They don't get the login. You know what? If you don't like Mint, don't use it. That would be my answer to you. I don't know. There's nothing to fight about here. You don't like it? Good. Yeah. We got some papals. You're stuck. We're gonna lock you in here. Hi guys. I like the Hack 5 dad. I like that. How you doing? I'm Leo.
Yeah.
Hi Doc. Hi Sarah. Oh yeah. Nice to see you again. Awesome. Don't stand in front of the camera, Doc. That's all I ask.
All right, Leo, this hour brought to you by famous people who live in Petaluma.
I don't know anybody famous who lives in Petaluma.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize
Sublime? Atmosphere?
Coolio.
Coolio lives in Petaluma?
But I never crossed a man. Wikipedia doesn't lie.
Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking. Are you?
Oh yeah, I run into Coolio all the time.
I really hate the trip, but I got
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, apparently a famous Petaluman. We're talking high tech, 8888 Ask Leo, and we got an interesting call from Jackie in San Francisco. On iOS, she uses something called assistive touch, where you can triple tap the screen and you can then zoom the screen, any screen on the iPhone. I think that's a very nice feature, especially for people with low vision who want to be able to use the phone. And Jackie, I've looked in the, I have a Galaxy S3 similar to the Galaxy Note, which I love, by the way, and I do not see a similar feature.
Right.
And so far, nobody in our chat room has proposed it either. I think that this is an iOS exclusive.
I gotta go back to Apple, oh no.
I know. I love the Note. You know, the new Note 2 comes out in a week on the 29th, 10 days. And I'm very interested in that. I may end up buying that.
Yeah, I can see some of the things with giant readers on, but I can't see any of the little icons, or I can't make any of those out. I'm useless with it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know if this is just something that Google didn't think of. More likely, it's something Apple's patented.
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, I have 30 days, so I might have to take this pretty little mini tablet back.
Yeah, keep listening. If I could find a way to do it, I will announce it on the show, or we'll put it in the website.
Never miss your show and enjoy it so much.
Bless you, Jackie. Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, the really key, you know, it's interesting to have these accessibility features, really key. It's interesting. A lot of accessibility features, a lot of features of smartphones came from accessibility features. For instance, the on-screen keyboard that you tap was originally an accessibility feature built into other devices that migrated its way towards just a mainstream phone. So there's a lot of cross-pollinization. That would be nice, wouldn't it? If you know, let me know, 8888-ASK-LEO, or go to the webpage, leo.am is the website, techguylabs.com. And as soon as we get that show note up, you'll be able to comment on it. And if you find a way to do it, put a comment in there, and then Jackie can go to the website and find it. Justin's in Indianapolis. Hey, Justin, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. What can I do for you?
So I'm a cord cutter, and I've primarily been using my laptop to watch, like, HBO Go and Xfinity and Hulu. But I wanted to get, either a Boxy box or a Google TV, because I wanted a browser in it. But I was just curious if you had had any experience with either of those devices and using the browser in there. To watch TV on?
Yeah, I have a Google TV, and I love it because the browser is Chrome, and the experience is very much like browsing on a regular browser, including Flash.
Oh, wow.
So now the Boxy box is also very good, but I do, and you know, I think Google TV is in the long run going to be the one that gets most of the updates. The Boxy folks have stopped doing Boxy for desktop. They're focusing on this D-Link device, the Boxy box. I'm a big fan of Google TV. I'll tell you one difference that may sway you one way or the other. The Boxy box is kind of like Roku or Apple TV. It's another device. It has an HDMI connection. It's one more device you plug into your TV. You go to the TV, you change the input to that HDMI connection, and you'll see what's on the box. The Google TV is not like that. It's a pass-through device. So your cable box or your satellite box, in your case, you don't have one, so it doesn't matter. But for others, this cable box or satellite box goes into the Google TV, which then comes out and goes into the TV. In your case, you could use a Roku or something else to go into the Google box and go into your TV. And the Google TV is an overlay on top of the live television, which is, I think, a great solution.
Wow.
It means that the Google TV... browser, for instance, can sit on top of live television. So it's an interesting way to do it. And that is a big difference between most set-top boxes.
Now, I saw a couple different models. One looked like it was built into the TV, and one was like a separate device.
Yes.
So do you have a recommendation on what?
I like separate devices because it's easier to upgrade. Once it's built into the TV, it's kind of, that's what you got.
Okay.
There is a new Google TV device, a new Sony device that I think is quite good. Vizio has announced one. I don't know if it's shipping yet. You could pre-order it. And I have the Logitech, which they no longer make, the Logitech Review. I would say the one to get right now is the Sony.
Okay, I'll look that one up then.
Yeah, I don't. Yes, there. I can't remember. I think is it LG or no? It's Samsung that has a Google TV enabled TV. But I like the idea of having an external box. I don't know why. It just seems to me.
Is it like the regular Chrome browser that you can add extensions to, or just
no? Unfortunately, not. This is one thing that I hope they will do is make it more like an actual Android device that you can install more applications on. You can, you know, more like an actual computer. Right now, and it makes sense because it's a television. You know, you can't put Chrome extensions on it. You can't. You can buy apps, but they have to be apps for TV, that kind of thing. I like it. Well, I know I'm one of the few in the world that actually likes it. But I really, I do like the Google TV. I think that they've done a good job. LG has a Google TV built in. There's the Sony Internet Player. I guess that's the, yeah, that's the one I just recently saw. I like the remote on that one. You should take a look at the remote. You know, these remotes have a big keyboard on them, right? The backside of the remote. Because it is a browser. You could type search entries and so forth. And then this Vizio CoStar, which will be out soon, is more like the Apple TV. It's small. It's like a little hockey puck sized.
Well, I'll be getting my student money in about a month, so I'll be sure to check
it
out.
Yeah, well, you know, then you'll be able to get the CoStar, because I think it should be out any day now. And we'll certainly review it soon. We just reviewed the, yes, $99. Oh, sold out already. So I guess the pre-orders are coming in strong for this one. $99 is very compelling. The Sony is a little more expensive. It's $199.
Saw that.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, if you can get in the list for the CoStar, that's going to be the one to get, the Vizio. At that price, it's very compelling.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Cord cutting is fun. It's an adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, and I tell you, I just started playing with Dr. Mom, who's in our chat room and lives in Long Island. Let me look at her Aereo device. You know, this is the Barry Diller company that gives you a little antenna that gives you over-the-air television on your iPad. It's pretty cool. It works pretty well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's only available in New York City right now.
Well, yeah. I hope they expand soon.
They say they're planning to go everywhere. And that's the thing you miss, right? Live local news, big events, stuff like that. You can't do that if you're a cord cutter. Leastways, not yet. 8888 Ask Leo, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More to come right after this. All right, got the rally cap on. Aren't you supposed to do this too? Go like this. Go for hits. We're down 9, what is it, 9-5? We're down 4 runs. Bottom of the sixth, almost over. It's over? That's not over, is it? Did I miss the end? Doesn't Petaluma get to bat? Oh, well. You have to lose twice. Oh, no. We get to bat. I did. It's not over yet. Not over yet. Not by any means. We get to bat. Come on now. Rally! Come on, they're down 9-5 at the bottom of the sixth. But it's double elimination, so I'm scared. What is it? Ooh, where'd you see that? Costco has a 12. $13,000, $12,299. Wouldn't think Costco would have $13,000 jewelry. Oh, that's pretty. Platinum, Tiffany, 1 carat. That's not very expensive. You got it. Did you put a reserve on it? All right, you got it. Oh, you went to Costco. Who makes it? Oh, it's a Kickstarter. You know, just because it's funded. I have a lot of Kickstarter. Yeah, well, we'll see. Have you? I've only gotten one thing out of 6 I've funded. What's it called? Cool. Kizo Smart TV. Make your dumb TV smart. What else have you bought? I don't know why. Maybe I'm investing in the wrong Kickstarters. I just think Kickstarter people, I think, yeah, somebody said one of these days all hell is going to break loose on Kickstarter. I think I agree. Because there's no, you know, nobody, this, you know, people assume, oh, it's going to be made. No. The sword, that wasn't a Kickstarter. I'll show you what I've invested in. My backed projects. The Oculus Rift. That's been funded, but the Nifty Mini Drive. Yeah. The Space Folk album, that was a joke. The Kona coffee filter, still haven't got that. I did get the Joey bra. I ordered the small one. That was a mistake. Pebble watch. See, the problem is they could make that. I could get it, and it could be crap. We don't know. Dice Age, that's over a year old. Never got that. Diaspora, that's the first thing I ever gave money to. Home run! 9-6. That's the same kid that got the home run last time.
DSL Extreme, Billboard here.
Another Petaluma resident.
I'm shining like
I just saw him the other day at the restaurant.
Hang on, Leo. All right, you're on.
We're doing Petaluma residents for 1,000, Alex. That's Tom Waits. Also Petaluma. We're hoping. We're crossing. I'm wearing the rally cap. The Petaluma Little League teams in the World Series, but they're down now. 3 runs down in the bottom of the 6th. It's tough. Last half hour of the show for the weekend. We've got plenty of calls. Let's get through as many as I can. Keith is on the line from Tampa, Florida. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Leo. How's it going?
Great. Welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Well, I work from home, 40-plus hours a week at home in front of a computer taking IT phone calls.
Wow. You do that for a company that lets you do that?
Yes.
That's great. I think more and more we're seeing that. I know JetBlue, for instance, none of its customer service reps work in the JetBlue office. They all work out of their house.
Yeah, well, I mean, I pay for the power. I pay for the computer. I pay for the internet. Why wouldn't the company want...
Yeah, it's a good deal for them.
Exactly.
Well, so, I guess sometimes the companies worry that you won't be working, that you'll be sitting there in your underwear watching TV. But I guess if you're doing customer service, they pretty much know. Because the phone rings, somebody's got to answer it.
Pretty much.
Do they have a call? So, they have a centralized call system that divvies the calls out to you? Or?
Correct. Yeah, it's through Avaya. It uses like an Avaya IP phone agent.
That's great.
It calls a phone number, and I answer it and take the calls.
That's amazing.
But basically, so I listen to a lot of podcasts between calls. So I right now I'm using Skype to answer my phone calls and listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I use one headset all day. But technically, using Skype is not allowed. I'm supposed to be using a hardline phone.
Well, that's just because they're worried it won't work.
Basically.
But if it's working well for you...
Well, so my question is, if I was not to be, because now right now I'm paying for both a landline and I'm paying for Skype. $10 a month or something.
Right.
All with Skype.
Right.
So I wanted to know if you knew of a way either to run a modem and run it into my computer and use it as a telephone, like through a landline, or a way to put my phone into my computer so that the audio and, you know, everything comes through my computer from the actual phone that I have on my desk.
So you're saying you want to start using the landline because your company wants you to. But what you'd like to do is keep using the headset that you're using.
Correct. That way I can listen to podcasts.
Right.
Because if I use two different headsets, I'm like, I got one ear in the podcast and I got one ear listening to phone calls, and it's a lot more difficult to do it that way.
Yeah, so I think that there are a number of companies, Plantronics is one, that make hybrid headsets. They use both Bluetooth and landline. And so what you would do is you would, I'm sure your computer has Bluetooth. Maybe not. Most modern computers have Bluetooth. If it doesn't yet, you can easily add it. And so then what you would do is you would bond the headset to your computer, and then it would be able to hear the audio from the computer, including Skype, and plug it into the wall, and it would also get the audio from the phone.
Okay.
So I think that will do what you want. Is that, does that sound like that'll work?
Yeah, probably. Off the top of your head, I know that certain modems, you know, whether it be PCI Express or USB, allow to use voice over
modems.
Yeah,
those are called voice modems. They're getting rarer and rarer because that comes from a day when people would use their computer as an answering machine.
Yeah, yeah. Windows 95. I was one of those people.
Yeah, me too. U.S. Robotics, baby. Represent. But that those times are long gone. You can still buy them. There are a number of companies. In fact, it's inexpensive, which is nice. If you go on Amazon and you search for voice modem, that's what you're looking for. You'll find them.
I know that sounds silly to some people. I've done searches. I've looked around for hours on end trying to find some kind of solution. And most people are like, just use Skype. Like, what's your deal?
What's your deal? Well, you want to be good, right? You want to be the... you know, you want to be a good employee, and your employee's telling you, your company's telling you, no, you've got to use a landline. So there are a number. I would say the solution is, if you've got Bluetooth on your computer, is to get one of these dual headsets. A lot of companies make them. That the idea is that you could use both your landline and your cell phone. So they're expecting you to pair it to your cell phone, but you don't have to pair it to your cell phone. You can pair it to your computer.
Awesome.
All right. I'll see if I can find a model number and so forth for you. But a lot of companies make these. I remember we've reviewed them in the past. Dick DiBartolo, the Gizwiz, has reviewed them in the past, and there are a lot of choices out there. Isn't that amazing? It's an interesting world. A lot of customer service reps now just work out of the house. It's great for you know, moms, you know, somebody who's doesn't want to leave the house for a variety of reasons. You can full-time job. You just don't have to leave the house. No commuting. Bob in Downey, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, you know, this the other night, I think it was Saturday night, Friday night, I was looking for some information regarding the P90X exercise system, and I logged on to something, and I picked up the Babylon Object Installer. It's some kind of virus.
Yeah.
And I had to, restore my computer back to the original factory.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And so my question is regarding my email. Should I change my my passwords and stuff?
That's a good question. So your question is, well, Babylon was on my system. What did they get?
Yes.
I'm just looking through information about Babylon. What you're worried about is a keystroke logger or something that will phone home with passwords and things like that. It doesn't look like Babylon does that. However, I don't want to say, oh, assume it didn't.
Right.
I would say this would be a good chance just to go through and change all your passwords.
Okay. All right.
Why not? It's not a bad idea. If you worry, if you think somebody might have compromised them, don't take a chance. And start with the mail passwords first.
Okay.
I would change those regularly anyway. Because think about it. When you're on your computers, if you're on a laptop and you're out in the world and you're getting your mail, you're often sending that password in the clear.
Right.
And the problem is somebody can get your mail password and you'd never know it. They could be reading your mail for years. So it's a good idea, I would say, change your mail password fairly frequently.
Okay.
Now, here's what I would do, since you're going to be doing all new passwords, is get a password manager now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, it makes it easier. It'll generate the passwords for you, and it'll generate good, strong ones, right, and unique ones for each site, and it'll keep them and remember them. And the one I recommend is excellent. It's called LastPass.
LastPass.
Yeah, it's free. You can pay $1 a month for the premium features, but you don't need to. And what LastPass will do, it installs in your browser. It installs anywhere in your computer, but it's most useful in the browser. You go to a website and you say, I'm going to change the password. And LastPass will generate a new password, save it to its LastPass database, and you don't have to remember it ever again, and now you got it. And the other thing I love about LastPass, it works on everything. Windows, Mac, Android, iPhone, BlackBerry, and on and on and on. It's just any platform. It's really a great little tool. Yeah. So this is a good opportunity. I would go ahead and do it, Bob, just in case.
Great. Thank you so much, Leo.
Sure. You know, Babylon is just a toolbar, and chances are all it really does is hijack your browser to put up junk links and junk ads and stuff. But you never know. You could even say, you can even read the description. It says, oh, no, that's all it does. And you could have had a specially crafted version on your system that does log keystrokes. So it's best just change the passwords. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Oh, yeah, I should have mentioned Obihai. Now, Obihai doesn't do it with his computer, but Obihai, and I use Obihai at home, is great. I'll mention that when we come back. I am an Obihai fan, and it's very affordable. And they do have
come
the Obihai
office,
110 will plug to your landline and to your Google Voice, so you get both. That's a good choice.
They lost. My boys lost.
Yeah, I like 1Password. LastPass is a little different because 1Password... you're responsible for maintaining your database, right? LastPass keeps an encrypted version of the database on their servers as well as on your computer. So I feel a little safer with it. Right. No, I think 1Pass is great. I used it for years. Yeah, Sarah Lane figured out I put chocolate back there. She's figured that all out. Yeah, the Little Leaguers lost. But it's double elimination, right? It's not over because I think you have to lose two. It's a tournament. It's not a... I have to see what the format is, but it was my understanding that you have to lose two games. I know. Well, I was a little worried about the Japanese. Game info, let's see. I don't understand how the tournament works. They should somewhere explain the tournament. Here it is, 2012 baseball tournament rules. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to ask the chat room. They'll understand. Yeah. I don't even understand. This is ridiculous. I just want to know what is the tournament? Yeah, this is like the rule book. Not what I want. Double elimination. I don't understand that.
Last live read is Carbonite. And here's your most famous dance group from Petaluma. The Butterfly Jams.
Hey!
Featuring Henry Laporte.
Leo Laporte. The tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. If you've got a question, a comment, or a suggestion. And, I especially encourage you to visit our website, our brand new site, techguylabs.com, because that's where we are putting the answers that I give, but also the answers you have. So a lot of times we'll get a caller, and you might have a better solution, and you want to add that to the website. I would greatly appreciate it if you do. I mean, the whole idea is for this website to eventually have just kind of everything you'd ever want to know about technology. Somebody in the chat room suggested, for instance, for our last caller, the Obihai. Actually, I love these Obis. I use one myself. These are little devices that I don't know if this is exactly what our caller needs, but they're good to know about. They're little devices, not very expensive, that put Google voice on your landline. So Google Voice, which is a free voice over the internet service. In fact, right now it has free long distance calls in the U.S. and Canada. You set that up with the Obi device, and then your home phone rings when anybody calls your Google Voice. Now, there's a Obi 110, and that's the one that our caller perhaps would want to get. It has a phone port and a line port. So it connects to your internet and then connects to a phone. I use just a regular old cordless phone. And then connects to the phone line, the landline in the wall. When the landline rings, the phone rings. When Google Voice calls, the phone rings. So essentially that one traditional telephone device now works for both your landline service and your Google Voice service. That's kind of cool. And they're not very expensive. I bought the Obi 100 because I don't have a landline. I wanted to use my Google Voice as my landline. And the Obi 100, I think, was $37. And you'd pay no monthly fee or anything. You just buy this thing once, you set it up, and now my Google Voice rings my phone. So if you want to be a cord cutter, if you don't want to have phone service, landline service. Now, the big negative, and they have emphasized this, and everybody needs to know it, though, I'm going to say it too, is there's no 911 service. So it's probably not a bad idea to have a landline with 911 service in addition. I do like Obi. But if they don't want Skype, they're not going to want you to lose Google Voice either, I'm sure, at your business. Mark's calling from Sydney, Australia. Mark, I'll be down your way in a couple of months. I'm so excited.
Yes, I can feel the excitement on the phone. How are you going?
I'm doing great. We're going to be in Sydney. We arrive November 6th. We'll probably have a meetup the evening of November 6th, and then we sail away November 7th.
If you need somebody to pick you up from the airport, just give me a ring, eh?
I'll call you, Mark. Thank you. It's very kind of you. I think it's part of the cruise they pick us up, but I appreciate the offer. Thank you. I'll watch my Twitter account, Leo Laporte, at Leo Laporte. And as soon as we figure out where we're going to have the meetup, maybe you have a suggestion for a nice little pub or something we could have a meetup at. I'll tweet that. And I know we have so many listeners in Australia. I would love to meet as many as possible, both in Sydney, and we'll have a day in Brisbane. I think the next day in Brisbane. So we'll be there.
There's so many nice places you can go and see
I
here.
I know. You guys know how to have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a question for you, though.
Yeah.
I've got about 5,000 MP3s or more. Now, I'd like to put accurate ID3 tags on those files. Now, I'll just quickly tell you what I'm doing currently. And I'll tell you where I'm getting stuck, and then you can probably help me out. I've used iTunes matched to match all my songs.
Okay.
So I've done that with all the 5,000 songs I've got. Now, that puts ID3 tags on the songs, but they're not accurate that I found. So
thanks, iTunes. That stinks. They don't put accurate. That's weird.
No. No, it's not. Well, if you look at it in, because I use Windows, if you look at it in Windows Explorer and have a look down the artist column and title column, there's some discrepancies with all the way that it's written. And I like it to be all perfect.
I'm going to give you a free program I just adore that I think is better than Match.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's called Media Monkey.
Right, okay.
And it will go through your MP3s and it will look up the album art, tag it, and everything. Now, of course, all of these are going to make mistakes because, you know, it's doing the best it can. And so it's doing it based on the length of the song and whatever partial information's in there. But then you can go back. It has a very easy-to-use tag editor that you can mass fix stuff. But it will also go out and go to CDDB and the other sources and look up information. And, I agree. Right. If you've got a music collection that's all MP3s or all AACs, and over the years you've gathered it from a variety of sources, a nice project to go through it and just clean it up.
Yeah, okay. I'll give that one a go. Thank
yeah, I like much. Media Monkey a lot. Anybody else in the chat room have a suggestion for a Windows program that will do this? I'd love to hear about it. But this is the one I've used in the past. I'm like, another interesting thing, Music Brain is another one they like. Another interesting thing is that Amazon just announced this week that they're adding a kind of a an MP3, a match, you know, iTunes match style service for Amazon Cloud Player. Do you ever buy anything on Amazon?
Sometimes, yeah.
So when you do, it's Music Brain. I'm just looking at Music Brain's Picard. That's interesting. It's a tag editor. Yeah, I don't know how good this one is. I think I've seen this before. Music Brain's Picard is a cross-platform tag editor that will use audio fingerprints like PUIDs and acoustic IDs or acoustides, CD lookups and disc ID submissions to match stuff up with the CDDB. This would be worth taking a look at. Music Brain's Picard. If Media Monkey doesn't do the job, this might be one to look at. And this one's free. It's open source.
Okay.
Brains with a Z. But so this Amazon Cloud Player now has the same kind of, for $25 a year, same fee, has the same kind of music matching services that iTunes does. It will replace any songs that it has in its library with high quality 256 kilobit MP3s. iTunes Match uses AAC. There's one difference there, MP3s. And it may also do some of the tagging for you. I'm not sure. But it'd be worth taking a look at.
Yeah, I will do.
Another one from the chat room, and I remember this one. I've used this before, The Godfather. Also designed to do exactly what you want to do, which is to go through your music and replace the tags with the correct tags. A little hard to find because I guess there was some movie called The Godfather. But if you can find the Godfather, and if you search for The Godfather and the music or Godfather MP3s, it's still hard to find. But there is The Godfather. It's at jtclipper.eu. And I've used this one before as well. This is another one that goes through. I think my favorite is still Media Monkey.
Okay. You've been an excellent help, Leo. Thanks.
Good.
So much.
Well, I'll see you down under in a couple of months in November.
Cool. Can't wait.
Thanks, Mark. Take care. Some people are saying not crazy about The Godfather. I think Music Brain's Picard is interesting. I've tried it. Mixed results. I did do the Amazon Cloud Player. Uploaded everything. It's great. Now on my... This is why I think we don't have to worry. You know, when people talk about the fact that the Google Nexus 7 tablet has only 8 gigabytes. Well, it's because you're streaming a lot of this stuff. You don't store music anymore on your device. You just stream it. But see, that's why, for instance... somebody was saying, well, what about backing up apps? I don't back up apps. I keep the app discs. I don't back up my music anymore. I just use iTunes Match or Amazon Match, and they've got everything. So thanks to cloud services like that, we don't need to back up as much. But that stuff that you only have one copy of, you got to back up. I'm out of time. I can't believe it. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.